It is time for Strong Women on KEXE, KBXE. I'm Heidi Holton. Joining me in the studio is Laura Connolly. Laura has been working with us on this programming that we've been doing for over a year now, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
And Laura helps us kind of understand our thinking. She hosts our focus groups that we've done so far, and I'm glad to have you here with me in the studio.
Thank you for having me.
So we had a recent group. Let's kind of get a feel for, though, why do we even do these focus groups?
So I think the reason why we started to do this is because we knew that we really needed to have this opportunity as women to kind of take a step back and look at our lives and talk about it and maybe kind of piece together what's really happening with all of us. How are we doing? When we started out, I think our first one was actually in relation to the Me Too movement.
Yeah.
Right? And so we were wanting to figure out, so you have this Me Too movement, you have all these people that are talking about these things that women are experiencing, and we wanted to know if it was changing things on the ground in women's lives.
And what do you feel like we found out in some of those first focus groups?
I felt like we found out that, yes, people's awareness was increasing, but the stuff that they were experiencing was the same.
And I think even there's a misnomer on this of, you know, when someone in a national media spotlight can call out a work environment separate from someone who's a teacher in Bagley, Minnesota.
Right.
And they're being, you know, your livelihood depends on this job. And there's really, if you complain, if you do something, you've lost your job.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important point to make, too, in terms of just even rural women. It's a very different experience in many ways. You're a little more isolated. Mm-hmm. You might not have as many opportunities to just leave a job.
So what do you think it does to women as they're kind of, they make that decision, like, this sounds kind of interesting. Maybe I'll say yes to this. I'll show up and be a part of it. What is that room like? What does that bring to our lives in a bigger way?
So after this last one, you know, when you and I were kind of talking about it and when everybody was leaving and all the women were saying, you know, thank you so much for having us. This was great. And then I actually ran into a couple people out in the community afterwards that just said, I loved that. Thank you so much for doing that. You had a couple people email you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the meaning of it is actually really subtle and profound. And it's profound in the sense that this idea of women having an opportunity to come together and talk about their lives and what's going on with them is extremely rare. And it's rare, but at the same time, when it does happen, it's super important, it's super powerful, and it makes women feel more like they aren't, something isn't individually wrong with them, that there's stuff going on a social level that's impacting them.
Well, let's talk about what we gathered these women together for in our last meeting. In some ways, came off of our talking about women in their jobs and employment and how they're treated, in that we heard sometimes that women bosses could be really hard on them. And we wanted to talk about this idea, right, of do women support other women and do women have that experience in their life?
Right. And we also heard that when we did the focus group with the younger women.
Yes.
That there's this kind of back and forth between women, that they're harder on each other even than maybe men are. So we wanted to look into that. Is that, what is that about? Is that true?
So in a bigger sense, why would a woman not be supportive or not be good to another woman?
So part of what's happening in women's lives is that we're so steeped in this culture of dominance where we believe that it's possible for one group of people to be better than another. And that plays out in all of our lives in a lot of different ways. And it's the reason why we see all these isms, you know, so much racism, sexism, ageism. All the isms are a direct result of a belief system that says that one group of people is superior to another. And then as a society, we've kind of organized in that way, right? So we're hierarchically organized with people at the top, people at the bottom. And then what happens with the people at the bottom, and I would argue that historically and even today, you know, women are seen as less than and the value placed on them is less than. They're objectified at epic proportions. And so when you have a group of people that are experiencing that, they're going to do this horizontal hostility to each other Because what happens to all of us is that we start to embody and internalize and believe the stuff that is being told to us by society, and we act that out.
So let's talk about the things that we heard that night at the focus group as we asked women to come in and talk with us about whether they supported other women or what their experiences had been like. What were some of the things that stood out to you that you heard?
So let's draw kind of on this notion of horizontal hostility and what does that really look like in people's lives? Because that's one of those kind of subtle things, but profound. So when you have horizontal hostility, it is reflected in kind of this dislike of other women. We're distrusting of them. We're judgmental of them. We're trying to hold them to standards that we would never be able to live up to. And we say these things in our conversations with each other, not really realizing what's happening. So it looks like this. Like in our focus groups, when we ask people if they're supportive of women or if they have supportive women in their lives, everybody's like, oh yeah, totally yes. But then as they start kind of going around and talking about it, you hear things like this. So, you know, one woman is saying, well, when I worked in a place with all female coworkers, there was so much competition and passive aggressive stuff going. And my female people that I worked with were super negative. It looks like one woman is 47 and she went back to college and her mom told her that's ridiculous. Another woman said, you know, my mom told me I'm semi-gifted, but I'm not really that smart. We had women who talked about people think you can't trust women because they're irrational, they're emotional, you know, they're not logical. We had another woman who would say, you know, like my grandma would hug me and she would say, like, you're too skinny, your hair is bad. So while we're having this focus group on women supporting women and we're all seeing it as important and we all believe that we have women in our lives who do that, we're also at the same time naming all the ways in which we're kind of keeping each other down.
What did you hear that felt like women were putting themselves down in our group and they maybe didn't even exactly realize it?
Yeah, so part of what happens too, like you have this horizontal hostility going on with each other, and then you also have all of women, I would argue, also embody and internalize this idea that something is fundamentally wrong with them, right? So whenever you do a focus group or you are facilitating a group of women, you have to be very conscious of the fact that pretty much every woman in that group is coming to that group with some level of self-hatred inside of them, because they have all of these notions from society about who they are supposed to be, what they're supposed to look like. You know, you're not going to typically go into a room of 10 women and have them all sit around. And if you said, how much do you love your body? The majority of women in that group are going to be like, well, you know, I have good days and I have bad days.
Yeah.
It's just a very fascinating thing. And so we do this to ourselves constantly. Like a lot of the women in the group said things, you know, like, it takes effort every day for me to feel good about myself, my body. Another woman said, you know, yeah, I have body image problems. I got it from my mom. I passed it on to my daughter. Some women talked about women do this thing where they see other people's needs as more important than their own, which is a really big thing. That's another one of those subtle but profound things that happens to women. And I think another big thing that happens is that women also diminish their thinking, their right to have something important to say, the value of their opinions. A lot of women start their sentences like, well, I don't really know if this is important, or I don't really know if this matters, but here's what I'm thinking. Or, I'm sorry, I don't really know how to say this, but there's so much of that going on that is very, very indicative of living in a society where what you think and feel and do is not valued.
And a lot of I'm sorry's you hear in these groups.
Tons of I'm sorry. And we even talk about them in these groups, mm-hmm. where we say women need to stop apologizing all the time for everything.
We also wanted to hear from women who were the people that were mentors, that were supportive, that really had a profound effect on who they became in life. And what were some of the stories we heard?
Yeah, so that's another key thing that we learned from this is that women most certainly do need, want, and value supportive women in their lives. Like, it's really crucial to their well-being. It makes us feel more connected to each other, to our community. It makes us feel less like something is individually wrong with us and just lets us see, like, okay, a lot of people are grappling with this stuff. We need each other. And I would argue that that's like the reason why these focus groups are profound too, is because you get a group of women together and you get them talking, and the energy and the closeness that happens is rare. Mm-hmm. It's remarkable. It doesn't happen all the time in groups of people. And so when we started talking about, you know, like, let's go around and have each of us talk about women who were supportive in our lives. So we had, you know, women talk. One woman, her dad died when she was young. And so she grew up with a really strong mom who just did whatever she needed to do to make sure that everybody was taken care of. We had another woman who, you know, she had a female boss who believed in her. And she said that her boss was a super confident, caring woman and just let her do her job. There was another woman in the group who talked about how her partner was like the epitome of a strong, supportive woman. She had to supervise around 600 people, and she never made the women feel less than her. She always brought people with her. She was very comfortable in her own skin, no matter what. I mean, that's something that you don't hear all the time, is women talking about other women who are just totally comfortable in their own skin and what that means to be around that and to see that. And then we talked about another woman, like her grandma, how she was just independent, strong. We talked, another grandma was very non-judgmental, loving, encouraged her granddaughter to think. One woman talked about when she was a server, she worked with all these other women who were just hustling to get by and how resilient they were. A lot of them were single moms. So, yeah, it's important to name that and talk about it.
You and I both, as you mentioned, had talked with some of the women that were there after the fact, but in kind of reading their body language or the way they said things from the beginning of it to the end, what do you think they kind of walked away with?
Well, I think part of what people walk away with is that, oh, like, my lived experience and what I have thought and been through means something. And when you start to see that the meaning is also attached to a lot of other people's meanings, that does something. It shifts us. It gives us the ability to kind of take a step back, right? So that's another thing about focus groups, is that you're ultimately giving people within the group, if you're facilitating it well, what time brings, right? So time typically brings clarity. It brings understanding. It brings the ability to detach a little bit from situations so that you can look at them for what they are, and then do with it what you need to. And it also, since we live in kind of a smaller rural community, we're running into the women that have been in our groups around the community. And just the fact that all the time they are saying how much they love to do that, they would participate in more if we have them, is really cool.
And there's also something that I have really realized over the years, because I'm a talker. I like to talk a lot. I talk on air for my job, but I'm also kind of stuck in this culture. Say if I was at a community meeting, even if I had this really thought that was germane to the conversation, or I thought I was going to bring something different to it, I would not be the first speaker.
Sure. That's especially a really common thing.
If men were in the room.
Absolutely.
I don't think about it when it's a group of women.
Right.
I mean, I don't mean I'm completely comfortable, but I don't think about that element of it. And you still see that. I mean, you saw that as you grew up in classrooms, but in anything, men are the ones that are always, you go to a show and they say, anybody have any questions afterwards, you know, and who is it that raises their hands?
Yeah, yes. Or who is it that like overtalks the women in the group? I think about stuff like that too. Like I pay attention in meetings, and men are never apologizing before they talk. And this isn't like making men out to be bad. It's we're all socially constructed people, right?
Right.
So it's just a thing.
Right. And I think that's one of the positive things about men also that, so they're not thinking about whether they should talk. I mean, I don't mean all men because there's certainly men that would be shy and wouldn't do that. But they also don't think that what comes out of their mouth has to be perfect or exactly right. And I think women feel like if I'm going to talk, it's got to be, I have to know that that is truthful. I have to know that that is exactly the right thing to say at that moment. And so then if you're unsure, you just shut up. You don't say anything.
Yeah, well, and I think that men feel, in general, entitled to just be able to say whatever they're thinking, and that's great. And women don't come to the table with that belief system.
What if it was a perfect world? We were having these meetings all the time. What would that, you use this word liberation.
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
Well, so liberation is really this process of reclaiming our role as the creators of culture. So this thing happens when you live in a culture of dominance, right? So like I talked about earlier, where one group of people believes that they're better than another, is that a lot of energy and effort goes into making it seem like that's the natural state of things. So like women and men, it would be like women are naturally less than. I mean, there's stories throughout history that are symbolic of that thinking. And the truth is that that's not the natural state of who we are. Naturally, biologically, we're equal. Mm-hmm. And so liberation is about realizing that that's not a natural thing. That's a cultural construct to see one group of people as less than or more than another. And while we're shaped by culture, we're also culture shapers. So when we can see that and we can reclaim our ability to recreate culture is liberating. And true liberation is when everybody is free. So when we're talking about this stuff and we're talking about women having an opportunity to name their lived experience, we are wanting to do that not because we think then women should be in charge and ultimately oppress men. You know, you're never going to end oppression with oppression. We're talking about it because we want to liberate everybody. And liberation is about being able to expand our awareness to the point where we see it all for what it is, so we can do something about it.
Well, the good news is we are going to continue these focus groups at KEXE, KBXE. We have one more before the end of June, and we've set it up for Monday night, June 10th.
Yes.
6 o'clock at the KEXE studios. We'll continue to talk about this idea because we, of course, could have stayed there all night long, but of course, all of them were very busy and had to move on to other things. So you don't have to have been at the last group to be a part of this. But and if you were at the last one, it's not just a repeat of what we did before. So we welcome everybody to it. And if you can't make it and you're listening right now and there's been some, you've had some resonance with the things that you've heard, we would love to hear your story. You can send us an email, comments@kaxe.org. Thanks, Laura.
Thank you. And I have said this before, but I want to say it again, that it's really a big deal that KXC is taking the time to look into this and to talk with women and then to talk about it on air. You just don't hear that happening every day. And the fact that most of the women that are coming in our groups have never been asked these questions
right.
is important to.
And I also think it's great that they trusted the way that KEXE was going to do this.
Right.
You know, so, and KBXE, I'm happy that they trust us and continue to, and we hope you'll be involved in it. We're planning for the next couple of years, and we may be meeting more regularly, and we're excited to see what might come out of that process for strong women.
Yeah. Thank you so much.